Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I wish things were ruthlessly efficient. That's true. I was like Kevin Spacey. This guy's doing a lot of stuff.
It is the Savage Nation. First family and dog beau to leave cold D.C. for $4 million Hawaii vacation. Of course, it's really $7 to $8 million because most of the costs are not being disclosed, including the costs in Honolulu for the local police. But look, he's worked very hard. He had a long trip to Africa, and he needs a rest now. And so he's taking a 17-day vacation, coming back January 5th. I think he's leaving Friday, and that's great. I mean, he needs a rest. The selfie, what must have worn him out. Think about that, what it did to him. The cost for the U.S. Air Force C-17 cargo aircraft that transports the presidential limos, helicopters, and other support equipment to Hawaii has never been disclosed. But the round-trip flight time between Andrews Air Force Base and Hawaii is 21.5 hours, with estimated operating costs of $12,000 per hour, source GAO report updated by C-17 crew member. The U.S. Marine Corps provides a presidential helicopter, along with pilots and support crews for the test flights, not including costs for the 40, blah, blah, blah. U.S. Secret Service, Navy SEALs, and Coast Guard rent homes along the canal and ocean for $250 per room per night. That's $183,000. White House staff who did not stay in Kailua secure hotel rooms at the Posh Moana Surfrider, $670 a night. They need that vacation. Valerie Jarrett and the others, they've worked very hard trying to undermine America and the American people. Honolulu police are on a special duty, paid $250,000 by city taxpayers, and another $10,000 is spent on around-the-clock ambulance detail. Now, here are the costs that the White House refuses to release, citing security. For example, the White House rents an entire floor of an office building in Kailua on the canal. Security upgrades such as bulletproof glass. Blah, blah, blah. You get the picture. They say $4 million, but it's really double that. Judicial Watch sued the U.S. Secret Service on May 6th to obtain records, but so far there's been no response from the secretive government. So I have some commentary that has been written about this on the article. Here's a Hawaii who writes in the article, Hawaiian, sure wish he would not come here. Traffic is nuts without him. Yup, I agree with the last comment, the great destroyer. That's, of course, from my book, Trickle Down Tyranny. Then someone writes, while our president is on tour, George Soros will watch the helm, sipping brandy while stroking his white cat, all while figuring out his next destructive command via Valerie Jarrett. Next writes, does the dog have to go through that quarantine that every other dog goes through? Another one writes, Michelle was overheard saying, let them eat cake again. Here's someone writes, Hawaii deserves this buffoon. Here's your native son. Keep him. Another one writes, the Obama entitlement grifters return for yet another multi-million dollar 17-day vacay at the taxpayer's expense. Wow. Here's someone who writes, we have 91 million Americans out of work. More Americans on food stamps than at any other time in U.S. history. $17 trillion of debt. $100 trillion of unfunded liabilities. I guess it would be too much to ask for the Obama family to be frugal and stay at home for the holidays like the majority of Americans. Typical liberal politician. Party like rock stars. They're not spending their money now, are they? Another one writes, you get the picture. Another man writes that this trip will cost 1,000 times more than my last family vacation. And people wonder why his approval ratings continue to slide. He's fast becoming the most out-of-touch president in history. Here's someone who wrote something rather vulgar, so I will go around the vulgarity and see if I can get the gist of it out to you on the Savage Nation. This guy has really a big, This guy has a really big, too bad he only uses them when screwing the American, stop it, that's not right. Let's see. Unbelievable. I guess it's too cool to play golf in D.C. Here's the best one. China challenging our warships, China landing on the moon, Russia harboring Snowden, NSA spying on citizens, Iran going nuclear, Obamacare ruining lives across the country, shaking hands with Castro, taking selfies at a funeral, the most people out of the labor force in modern history. You can keep your doctor, period. People everywhere in this country who work their rear ends off cannot afford a vacation. Meanwhile, this incompetent fool who has created nothing on his own, never run a company, never met a payroll, never held a private sector job, is spending at least $4 million of our money to go to Hawaii. Really? And you idiot fools voted for this moron? I cannot wait until November 2014 to flip the Senate. You get the picture. Someone wrote, enjoy the great pretender. Maybe he could stay for 3 more years. Another wrote, where is Cindy Shahin? And the code Stinkos, who trailed Bush everywhere he went. You get the whole picture. You've heard all about this. So I could ask you a question, but I'm not. I covered that. It's over. Good. Finished. I can throw it in the garbage. Next case. I have other topics I want to get to, but I don't know. I can't do the multivitamin one, which was the most fraudulent study I've ever seen in my entire life. Is the multivitamins being a waste of money article. I've never seen anything quite like this. And I know where this is coming from. It's all politics. It's all from the medical pharmaceutical industry. And the CNN and CBS and the other networks, you know, picked it up. And the editorial is completely wrong because the study itself does not prove what they said. It's that simple. So I'll repeat what I said yesterday. If you're a liberal, please flush your vitamins down the drain. Please, if you're a liberal and you hate Michael Savage, please take all your vitamins. I want you to believe CNN and CBS, and I want you to flush them down the toilet. Everyone else, keep doing what you've been doing. That's all. Next case. I studied it. I read it. I mean, I don't want to do it again. I did it last night. Once is enough for me. Another guy in radio would milk it for 6 months. 6 months, they go on with the same story. And the strange part is that people would listen to it. That's the part I don't understand. You know, you could take one topic in talk radio and run it for 3 to 6 months, and your ratings won't change. You could talk about Obamacare and his failures from, let's say, June until December, and your ratings are about the same. I don't understand that part of it. Is there no creativity? Doesn't anybody else get bored of themselves? Don't they have to change the subject every once in a while? No, I guess not. I'm not ready to get into the show yet. I'm still warming up. I could do the Ukraine again, which I'm going to do. It's really a great topic, great show. I played McCain. It went over very well yesterday. I told you what I think of McCain and the whole Ukraine breakaway thing. I mean, I think by what I said yesterday, Putin should invite me to Russia for a visit. And the reason I won't go is manifold. Number one, my father fled Russia. My grandfather fled Russia in 1917, I believe. I have no desire to go back there. Secondly, I have never developed a taste for polonium sushi. So I doubt very much that I want to visit. But no, they really. I should be invited. I don't think I would go over there. You know, Bush was in power. He invited all the conservatives to the White House except me. Wallbanger went. Limbaugh went. Limburger Cheese went. They were all invited to Bush's buffet. Then they got embarrassed by being called water carriers for Bush, which they did proudly. And then sort of toward the end of his regime, when it was seen to be that I was correct in calling him a fiscal socialist, they said that they had been a water carrier for Bush, but they were no longer a water carrier for Bush. And yet today I turn on the radio, and they were all lauding Bush again. I don't understand how this works. Does anyone not listen to what people actually say? Am I the only one who says, do you listen to what I say, or you just listen to my voice because I'm sort of hypnotic? All right, here's what I'm going to do. Be my producer for a day. I've been thinking about this every night, about my new show, January 2nd. I will be here New Year's Eve. I'm going on vacation the same day Obama's going, on Friday. I'll be on this Friday, but I'm so going on vacation Monday, I think. Maybe. I might not. But I'll definitely be here, God willing, New Year's Eve. I'm coming back for my last nighttime Siberia time slot show. I'm having a New Year's Eve party on the show right here, really. And then, bingo, January 1, we have a best of all of my best things. Tuesday, though, I'm here live. That's the first, you know, live show. Others in the media are not coming back till January 6th or 8th. They're following Obama's lead. What is that about? How could they afford to be off so long? Don't you need them? So I want you to be my producer for a day. I'm hiring you. What would you say the minute I open my show on January 2nd to my large new audience? Remember, my P1 audience, my hardcore will never miss it for anything in the world. They'll call in sick. Number two, list your favorite Savage segments through the years. Two friends who I trust told me that one of the best shows I did this year was the day I came back from the Super Bowl, my musings about New Orleans. They loved it. The walking around the city, how I describe New Orleans as the real San Francisco, how San Francisco pretends to be a bohemian city but isn't anymore, if it ever was. God knows when it was. They're living on the fumes of, you know, the past. They love that. My visit to the transvestite in this. You remember that conversation? That was a good one. No calls, dead in the water. What are they watching? They're watching for the legs? Miss Legs. Who are they giving this slot to when I leave? I don't know who's going to take this. Running up against Blondie, that's a tough one. I'm leaving just in time. Whoever gets this, it's like a death wish. It's like a no-win slot. I have no legs, no lipstick, no hair, nothing, no perfume. You can feel the perfume coming through the TV screen. With me, all you hear is me, that's all. I know I'm going to get people calling about topics I don't even want to talk about right now. But, you know, I was talking about somebody ripped me off on liberalism as a mental disorder, and I was claiming that I ripped them off. It's funny, though, because I have my book, Liberalism as a Mental Disorder, in my hand from 2005. How is that possible? If I wrote this entire book in 2005, that someone could say I took the idea from them. How is that possible? I don't get that. It's right here. Liberalism is a mental disorder. You want to hear what I wrote in line one? Listen to this preface. Everyone's stolen this by now, and they think, here's the object. Okay, sorry. Here's when you know you're really great in the business. When people are quoting you and they don't even know they stole from you, then you know you've made it. I'm going to read you some lines from Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. And you're going to listen to the, here's the lines I wrote, and tell me who stole these lines. Line one of Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. Ready? The conservative movement is dead. I take no pleasure in making that observation. That was line one, 2005. The conservative movement is dead. I take no pleasure in making that observation. Most of the red state politicians fail to comprehend that the American people are behind them and that the people want them to push through Congress a real conservative agenda. I wish that these empty suits and skirts would provide the leadership necessary to defend America. Can you think of one speech wherein the Republican leadership has expressed a desire to protect our borders, our language, or our culture? And I go on. And there's much more in it. I'm not trying to sell you a book. It's long. It's in print somewhere. I'm not going to make any money on it. But the fact of the matter is, this was a very important book. It did very well, by the way. It was published, 9 years ago. 9 years ago. 9 years ago? There's more in this introduction. This is good. This is very good. More patent, less patent leather, chapter one. More patent, less patent leather. How exactly does an Abrams tank tread lightly, I asked. You know what I'm saying? Would you like me to read from some of my books? How's that? I could do that. I'm not in the mood to read the news tonight. Let's see. Here we go. If your attention span were longer than a beer commercial, you'd know that Carter's decision means the world is suffering today as radical Islam sweeps across the globe from the epicenter of Iran. I wrote that in 2005? How could that be, since I'm unknown in the media? Banned not only in Britain, but banned on Fox News. They have unknown talk show hosts on, radio talk shows no one listens to. Meanwhile, I'm not allowed on the air. Well, it's their loss, not mine. The only thing I could say is this. While I am somewhat upset that I cannot visit Britain because I really do need to access the great dental care that the Universal Health Service is known for and the superb cuisine of England, and I've been denied this since 2009, there is nothing akin to that that I'm missing from Fox News other than the smell of horrendous cheap perfume, which I am allergic to. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Attention, the rumors are true. The Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon. Noon, right here on Hot Dog 560 KSFO. I can't believe what I struck gold already tonight. I got callers on right now that are so good I could go for 25 straight minutes now without a break and relate to what I'm about to show you. I asked you how would you program my first new show, list your favorite Savage segments through the years. This is going to be amazing what you're about to listen to, but I wanted to also concurrently tell you, last night I was high as a kite, just flying. I was happy. Tonight I've been dragging all day. I don't know what's wrong with me. And it dawned on me during the break what did it to me. See, that's a whole segment right there. I can't even do all of this at once. It's too multitasking. And the new DSM manual says that creativity is a form of mental disorder. So if Picasso were alive, they'd put him in a straitjacket. If Mozart were a child, he wouldn't be able to compose anything. They put him on Adderall. That's the kind of psychotics running our medical establishment today. Normally after a show, I don't eat. I don't even drink because my energy is high. The adrenaline's high. And the first rule is never have alcohol when your adrenaline's too high. You'll get sick. You'll screw up your thermostat. Okay? You don't run adrenaline versus alcohol ever. You don't do it. Conversely, you don't drink alcohol when you're low. Never drink when you're depressed. Ever. That's suicide. So, last night I violated all my rules. I went off the air, and I went to return three pair of pajamas that I bought in Nordstrom's. I wait every year to buy flannel pajamas that I like from Nordstrom's. I bought them the day before, and lo and behold, they weren't the same anymore. They were made in China, number one. I knew that the flannel was rougher than it had been before. I even said it when I bought it. I figured, it's the same. What are you going to do? But it was rough flannel. It wasn't good. I get it home. I open it up, and bingo, it's no longer the waist the way I like it with just a drawstring. It has an elastic band around the waist. Horrible. So I said, oh, God, not again. They're tricking me even on Nordstrom Christmas pajamas. So, I mean, communist flannel. Okay, I get it. Then to top it off, I said, okay, I'll keep it. So I wash one pair because the stink is so bad. All new clothing stinks. The chemicals, you can't wear them. What's the point of buying a new, and you have to wash? It's soft, right? I throw it in and I do a cold water wash. It comes out two sizes too small. There's more lint in the lint catcher than you would imagine in a dream catcher. Let's put it this way. There was more lint in the lint catcher than there are feathers hanging from people who still hang the dream catchers on their mirror. That's not a bad line. Whatever happened to the dream catchers? Remember that phase 10 years ago? All the cool people had dream catchers. All of the cool people. The people who took off their, the Saint, what do they used to call the Saint what on the window? I wrote that once. We went from a Saint Christopher's to a dream catcher in one generation. Remember that? You couldn't see out of the window. They had so many things hanging from the mirror. Feathers. Worship items. We're already degenerating into some third world cesspool at that point of paganism.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation.
Al Corleone. Now, what's happened to Al since he got caught in that scandal with the masseuse? I don't know. I know she ditched him. The photographer wife, she dumped him. Poor Al. He's such a schmendrick. It's like the guys that couldn't get into a college fraternity. You know what I'm saying?
Michael Savage.
They go to a massage parlor? A guy with that power and that money has to go to a masseuse and ask her to touch him inappropriately in a massage parlor? It was unbelievable to me.
Weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
All right, so I'm going to get the callers in a minute. You're playing, you know, producer for a day, right? And you're listing your favorite Savage segments over the years. But I got to tell you this. I didn't finish my thought. I didn't know why I was dragging today. I was high yesterday. It wasn't the pajamas. I was leading to something. So after I returned the pajamas, and I felt bad about it, I'm apologetic when I return something. The salesman doesn't care. That's one good thing. So, but I'm apologetic. I come from another time and place. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to buy it. The guys look at me like I was crazy. I'm sorry. But I returned three. So then afterwards, I was like, okay. Then I bought a coat. I needed a new winter coat. I bought a three-quarter coat. Looked nice in the three-way mirror. I liked the way my hair looked from behind. Talked myself into it. Didn't really need it. One of those nights. First of all, I get it home. It stinks of perfume. Everything you buy in a department store today is permeated by rotten, stinking perfume. So I now have to return the coat tomorrow night. I could go tonight. They're open till late. I may have to return the coat immediately in the morning. It stinks. I figured one day hanging in the garage. I have to hang my clothing in a garage when I get it home. New clothing. The perfume is on everything from the perfume store. I'm returning it to the same guy. It'll be another repeat. It's like, hey, I'm back again. I'm sorry I bought a coat after return. You know what's going to come? Oh, it's that guy again. He's coming in to return. I never do this. I'm returning the coat now. I can't even buy myself anything. No wonder I wear like clothes from 10 years ago. It's outgassed. You know what I mean? But wait, that's not why I don't feel good. It's not the coat because I didn't wear it. It was in the car. I was bored. I didn't want to just go home. So I decided to go eat, which I never do after a show. I go home and I snack. Much smarter. I follow my own advice, right? Mr. Health. Said, I can't take it anymore. It's holidays. I'm alone. Let me go have a meal. I go to a local Italian restaurant, which is like walking through a jungle of hatred. filled with waiters like you have never seen anything like these people. They're known to hate the customers. So I go in and there's very almost nobody in there. It's like a chain restaurant. It's, you know, mezza. But I know the chef is a very nice guy, and he makes me calamari and spaghetti the way I like it. So the maitre d' is French, of all things, and he says to me, well, who do you want to wait on you? It was pretty empty. I said, just anyone who doesn't spit in my food. So he laughed, because there are quite a few who probably spit in the food on a regular basis. I think they went to the Jesse Jackson School of Waiterology. All right, so I get the calamari and spaghetti. I have a couple of beers, go home. And meal today, I'm dragging it. It dawned on me. I said, look, Michael, you violated everything that you believe in. First of all, you ate a large meal after your high on your adrenaline was through the ceiling, right? Number two, you know the calamari that they get in this chain comes from the China. You know it's toxic garbage. And that's why I'm dragging. I proved it. I used myself as a guinea pig. Once again, I couldn't violate my own belief system in terms of knowledge, rather. The calamari is poison. All seafood from China is toxic, garbage, poison. I wouldn't serve it to a pig. I wouldn't serve it to a pig. My arms hurt from it, all because of the neurotoxins in this garbage that they let into this country because of the greed that they let this filth into the nation. So there it is. I'm not eating there again. Never. Let's take some calls. Stormy on line 9, welcome to the Savage Nation from KSFO, my home signal.
Hey, it's great to hear you. I've been a long-term listener, and you're really in the groove again, and I'm glad you're getting your new show. I hope I'll be able to listen to it. I normally catch you on around 6 o'clock, but I just wanted to thank you. You're an amazing guy. I mean, you're a national treasure, and I don't care about politics whatsoever. And I heard your clip of your mom the other night, which... I went called in on the show one time, and you're just amazing. And one of the favorite things I enjoyed was your reading of When Pasta Was Spaghetti. And I think you should open up a place called Mike's Pot Spaghetti Bar on Chestnut.
That's funny. Now, I've always toyed with opening a restaurant, but the few people I know who've been in the business warned me against it. They said the worst business in the world. You'd hate it. It's like everyone dreams of owning a restaurant. It's a very tough business. You're always one meal away from a disaster. Managing people, it's a nightmare. I admire people who can put out hundreds of meals a night that come out with things that are supposed to be hot that are hot and things that are supposed to be cold are cold and on time and a whole table. I could never do it. So, Stormy, you said something that I'm back in the zone again. What do you mean by that?
You're running on a 10. 10's the highest. I've never heard you so...
Yeah, I feel that I'm back to the old level of savage. Remember, I was enmeshed in a 2.5-year lawsuit that was like a vampire sucking my blood. My bone marrow was being sucked out of me. And I went on the air every day like a real trooper anyway. I never quit. I never let that destroy... It didn't destroy me, and I wound up on my feet. And I have to thank God for that, Stormy.
Happy for you.
I have to say God's hand was involved, because one day I'll tell the story. The way it happened, there was God involved. Anyway, thank you for the call, and I hope that you continue to listen to the program. There's a poll on God and believing in God. I lost it already. I can't find anything anymore. It's not a product of confusion. I usually have too many ideas. Here it is. Got it. Now, the poll is another faker. Another one put out by the liberal slime. First, they tell you multivitamins are worthless by doing a study that's worthless. Poll. Americans' belief in God is strong but declining. Rubbish. How do I know it's rubbish? You want me to read it to you? Remember, I'm a trained epidemiologist. You ready? The Harris poll on God was conducted online within the United States among 2,250 adults ages 18 and older. Now, what's wrong with that statement? In terms of objectivity, the Harris poll was conducted online. It's invalid because many older people, most of whom believe in God, generally will not go to an online poll. That's number one. Number two, how many people have the time to do answer polls online? Mainly atheists who are on drugs. So they give you the new headline. Americans' belief in God is strong but declining. Oh, come on. That's such rubbish. Every day you turn, there's an attack on God, on America, on the family, on our borders, on our language, on our culture. You know what they do. They're devils. Our political opponents are the devil themselves. 72% believe in miracles, down from 79%. Oh, well, I'll worry about that. 68% believe in heaven, down from 75%. I'm sure God is quaking in his cloud. 68% believe in heaven, down from 75%. Hey, God, watch out, your ratings are falling. The Harris poll says your numbers are declining, God. 68% believe that, wait, 64% believe in the survival of the soul after death, down from 69%. Hey, God, your numbers are dropping like a rock. You better get down here. 58% believe in the devil and hell, down from 62%. Down? Wait a minute. Oh, 57% believe in the virgin birth, down from 60%. Leave me out of that one. Sorry, there's a certain point with my let's say, my first grade education in science up through my PhD. You cannot believe in virgin birth. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen. It's impossible. Now, I know you're going to get mad at me, but go ahead, get mad at me. Go ahead and make my day. What can I do? Other findings. 42% of Americans believe in ghosts. Oh, morons. 36% believe in creationism and UFOs. 29% believe in astrology. 26% believe in witches. Well, that would be 100% in the White House. 24% believe in reincarnation, that they were once another person. In the terms of Democrats, they can believe that every day. Other findings. Absolute certainty there is a God is down versus 10 years ago. 54% versus 66% in 03. God, listen, that's a bad one. The absolute certainty that there is you is down. It's really down. You better get on this one. Outside of specific religious samples, the groups most likely to be absolutely certain there is a God include, absolutely certain there is a God include, blacks 70%, Republicans 65%, older Americans 62%, baby boomers 60%, Southern is 61%, Midwestern is 58%, and those with a high school education are less 60%. That's the reverse of what you'd think. In other words, people with less education have no certainty there is a God. They believe in crack cocaine and crank. That's what they believe in. That's horrible. I mean, drugs have replaced God in large swaths of America. There continues to be no consensus as to whether God is a man or a woman. Yeah, I believe that, sure. Nearly 4 in 10 Americans, 39%, think God is a male, while only 1% of U.S. adults believe God is female. However, notable minorities believe God is neither male nor female, or both male and female. Crap, garbage, psychosis. This is such psychosis. 90% of Americans describe themselves as very religious, with an additional 4 in 10 describe themselves as somewhat. What does this mean? What does this garbage mean? If a person has faith, they're going to have it no matter what these psychopaths publish. And those without faith are never going to find faith. They're going to live in hell the rest of their lives. What do you want from me? They're going to have rampant sex with everyone they can find and then want to commit suicide the next minute. And they're going to wonder why they feel suicidal. Then they go to a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting. Oh, hello, my name is Gloria and I'm a nymphomaniac. No, Gloria, you're a sex addict. No, I'm a sick slut. I'm a nympho sicko. No, Gloria, you have a sex addiction. No, I don't. No, I don't have sex addiction. I'm a slut and I'm a psycho. No, Gloria, you don't belong here. Get out of the meeting. Does anyone follow what I'm saying? Is there anyone listening to this show? I don't know how I get the energy to do it. It's a miracle, my age. For a man of my age, I get stronger by the day. I don't know what's wrong with me. Most guys see guys like much younger than me. They're already over the hill. Well, I knew guys at 30 had given up. 30, they were finished. I knew guys at 30, they had no libido. They were not interested in sex, which I found shocking. At 30, they gave up on it. I think libido's connected to life force to begin with. I mean, I know a man, I hope he's not listening. I think he's traveling in Europe. I can talk about him freely behind his back. I think he's in an airplane. The guy is 85. He still dates women in their 30s, and he does. It's true, he has money, yes, okay, yes, it helps. But as he once said to me, he's very funny, he says to me, he said, one thing he's a very wealthy man, he made all his money on his own, you know, through inventions, and he says to me, One thing, Michael, I got to tell you, he says, to thine own self, do not BS. He reversed it, in other words. He says, I said, what do you mean? He said, what do you think the women are dating me for? He said, it's for my body. It's obvious. I mean, we had a laugh over that, but okay, he gets it. He understands that. Bidding for Zimmerman painting nears $100,000. I don't believe this. I don't believe it. A painting went online at 99 cents, and it's up to $99,000 as of Monday night. Bidding ends on December 21. I've got some pretty good paintings. I should put them on eBay. You know that I have a whole series of watercolors, you know, for the early years of Savage, pre-radio. They're pretty good. They're very good. I found them in a book in my years before radio, and I was going to put it together with some writings. I never got to it. There's so many projects I want to do that are sitting around in offices and tables. I need an archivist. I need some genius librarian archivist to come into my life and make all of this happen for me. But I can't manage people. I don't like people enough. I can't. It's not that I don't like people. I can't. If someone comes in and wants to work for me, I can't handle it. I need like a virtual life. That's why I have radio. I never see anybody I work with. They're in one place, I'm in another. It's very hard to work with people. Well, it goes back to the early years in the Bronx and PS 40. I remember, I think Mrs. Jasinska, my first grade teacher, or third grade teacher, was had it right. I remember there were scores for personality. You know, you get it. Of course, you know, grades in math, reading, that kind of thing. Then there was always like the behavior stuff, which they can't do anymore since the kids are all drug addicts and psychos. Well, too many of them are anyway. So it's like, gets along well with others. I always got a U. I don't know why. Why would she say I don't get along well with others? I got along well with them. They didn't get along well with me. What do you mean I don't get along well with others? It's their problem. But I always got a U in gets along well with others. I remember those, you know, like sits quietly in his chair, W, triple U. What do you mean sits quietly in a chair? I used to get a migraine from the teacher's toilet water, which is why to this day, let me not go there. It's a family show. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
If you're the Savage Nation is moving, let me tell you, listen to me, Mike. Talk radio, from my opinion, and correct me if you think I'm wrong. If you listen to other shows, it seems like very, very depressed, sad old men who have been beaten. And all they do is complain all day long. You know, Obama this, or Democrats that. You hang in, we got to overcome them. Let me tell you something. People don't want to listen to futilitarianism on the radio. Look up the word. Okay, I'll use a PhD word every once in a while. I seep out of me. They don't want to hear futilitarians rapping about how bad things are. A futilitarian is a pessimist and a cynic who sees no particular point to anything in life. Why would you listen to that on the radio? Oh, the Democrats did this. I tend to move there myself sometime. I got to be cautious. It's a bore. It's old men fetching in an old age home with a microphone in front of them. So, Manny, what do you think? The rotten Democrats, what they did. Forget about it. When we were young, we had a Republican. No, the taxes were better. I don't like the conditions. The food stinks in here anyway. That's what it sounds like. Roll up their pants on the boardwalk with the knock the legs with the blue veins. That's what I hear. Verbal blue veins. I'm never going to go there. You won't hear me doing it. The days I get in that mood, I come out of it on the radio. I spoke to that young jazz saxophonist. Remember I had him on? And I said, some days I'm dragging, and then I get into the show. I start low. I don't fake an opening and come off high when I'm low. I'll come in low like a good musician who's improvising. I'll come in low. And eventually that will carry me back up. And he said that's exactly what works for him and his young friends in the jazz business. He said Daisy's gone in with the flu, and he didn't think he could function. The minute he gets on stage and starts to play, the flu is forgotten. He transcends his human body. That's absolutely what should happen on radio. If you're not transcending your zoological order, when you're on radio, you're not really doing a good show. Do you know that? I'm serious. Like right now, I have no aches in my arms. The minute I get off the air, the calamari ache will return. The toxic effluence from China's seas will continue to plague my neuromuscular system. Nice use of words. Now, we haven't yet played Nancy Pelosi. I mean, the guy spent a lot of time getting the Telemundo speech she gave, calling for amnesty for all of her good friends from Mexico. She wants all of them given amnesty because it's so Catholic to do that. And they're such wonderful people. Never mind the beheadings. Never mind what's going on in our country from this swarm in the country. Oh, no, they're all wonderful people. Now, I noticed she was at a party the other night on Pacific Heights for Gordon Gekko, where and 500 of his closest friends. I didn't notice any illegal aliens wearing tuxedos. They were in the background serving the drinks and cleaning up the slop. So get the Looney Tunes sound ready, and let's play, please play clip four. This is astounding. You got to hear clip four.
For years, we have been after the administration not to have this disparity of discretion that is used. It's just wrong. I mean, I can give you, I've appeared with these people in church myself, in public, and the rest. They have, it breaks your heart to see what is happening. It's not the right thing. It's not who we are as Americans.
No. No, it's not the right thing. It's not who we are as Americans. We shouldn't respect the rule of law and protect our own borders, language, and culture, Nancy. You really have that one right. No, no, no. Listen to clip three. And by the way, the sanctuary city of San Francisco has led to many murders and a spike in crime that is buried, absolutely buried, like the federal government buries all crimes committed by illegal aliens, whether it be drunk driving or rape, all buried by the federal government. Listen to clip three with Looney Tunes behind it.
I don't see any reason for these deportations, and there has been it hasn't been a uniform enforcement of the law. So I think the prosecutorial discretion to say if your only violation is you overstayed or came in a certain way, that's no reason to split a family.
No, they're sacred, the family. It's interesting to me how these uber libs have such respect for the illegal alien family and spit on the American family. Isn't that interesting? In America, there's no such thing as a family to these uber liberal liars. The American family is a woman alone with a giraffe. To the uber liberal, the American family is no more, but to the uber liberal, the Hispanic family from Mexico, here illegally, is a sacred bond. It's a sacred unit. It's a sacred unit that you must protect at all costs. Okay, now you understand where I'm coming from. I'll be right back with more from the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Aloha, infidels. Hello, kitties. The president's going to be away, and we can play right here on the Savage Nation. Hello, Yankee. You should throw down your guns. Yankee, throw down your guns. Well, we're just having... I have so many real political things to do, but I'm not doing them. Isn't that something? I ran myself and my producers ragged all day with stories that you can't believe. I get to them all eventually. Nothing's wasted in my mind factory. It's all put to use later on. I remember every story I ever pull. Rarely do I ever lose one that I ask for or a soundbite. But we shifted into another state of mind when I asked this question, if you just joined us. Here is the question again, which is this. Be my producer for a day. List your favorite Savage segments through the years. And how would you program my first new show for January 2nd? Now, the lines are full, so we have, I think, one open line is about it, 855-407-282. A lot of people said they loved my show after I went to the Super Bowl last year and came back and talked about the streets of New Orleans, the music, the people, the food, the smells, the sights, the sounds. Comparing it to the city I live in, San Francisco, which is devoid of any of that. San Francisco pretends to be New Orleans, and it is. And, well, with the exception of North Beach, in certain areas where you can still smell the garlic and the coffee. Other than that, San Francisco is just another sort of Midwestern community type. They like to think it isn't, but it is. doesn't mean it's bad. The Midwest is nice. I like the Midwest. But San Francisco's filled with Midwesterners screaming they're free and having a wonderful, great time. And they don't understand that it's really a provincial city, always has been and always will be. And there's nothing wrong with being a provincial city. I love provincial cities. That's why I live here. So let's take some callers. WABC Drew, welcome to the Savage Nation. Drew, are you there or are you hung up? Bingo. That's story number one. Shot in, down in the war. Let's go on to the... John, on line one from KSFO. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Uncle Mike?
Yes.
Producer for a day, I would love to hear the old Rita Wilde Savage intro from KSFO back in...
You know, I don't remember that. Are you talking about when I was a local host 20 years ago?
She did the news, and then she would segue back to the show. And
I don't even remember her. I don't know who she was. She introduced me on the first couple of months?
Late 90s.
Unbelievable. I don't know who she is. I'm sure she was great. What is it that she did that you liked?
Oh, it was her inflection. She'd make a growl when she said savage. She'd say that.
I like that.
To the savage.
So, John, you've been listening to me for 20 years since I began?
Long time ago, yeah.
And you still have the time and the patience to still listen to me?
You got to admit,
I'm sounding strong. I really am. I can feel my energy's back up. It's coming to a new peak. I can feel it.
You're doing great.
I hope you're looking forward to January. I know I am. There's going to be such changes in the media in 2014. You don't have to be Nostradamus to see what's coming. You don't have to be Nostradamus to hear what's happening. The futilitarians in talk radio are going to implode. How much depression can they put out without cracking internally? Do you notice that I try not to go into the depression. It's all lost. Oh, we can't win. Oh, let's not. I can't do it, so I won't do it. So now I'm doing other things. It's that simple. That's why. Lucky for me, I can talk about the vitamin story being fake and go into the actual science. I found another health story today that I wanted to share with you. Opioids and painkillers given to men with prostate complications damage the immune system's ability to fight cancer cells. You say, well, who cares? I don't have prostate cancer. But listen carefully. Painkillers and opioids, such as the type used that you may know of. I don't have to read it for fun, okay? OxyContin and whatnot. These pain drugs actually suppress the suppress the immune system's ability to fight off a cancerous cell. So even if you're healthy, if you are taking painkillers, you're suppressing your immune system. You may not have known that. It turns out that people who've had prostate surgery, if they're given drugs such as opioids and painkillers to help control any pain they may experience, these drugs are doing more harm than good by inhibiting the immune system's ability to fight off cancerous cells. I never saw a study on opioids and immune suppression. Never. And this is a major league study because it shows you that the overuse of painkillers in our society, again, not for cancer per se, should be avoided at all costs. At all costs, it's unbelievable. If you're taking opioids or any other painkillers, you are opening yourself up to infection and serious infection. Because the body's immune response, when it is suppressed, permits invaders to take control of the system. Just as illegal aliens are taking control of our nation because our immune system has been destroyed by these politicians. You know, I did that once. It's a great, brilliant analogy. The reason the illegal aliens are gaining such a foothold in our society is because our defense cells, meaning our politicians, have either collapsed or gone over to the other side. They're like a retrovirus. Our politicians who were supposed to protect our sacred borders, language, and culture every day preach against our borders, against our language, against our culture, and take the side of the invaders as though they are the ones who belong here and we are the ones who are wrong. That is an autoimmune disease. They have gone over to the other side. They have become the equivalent of defense cells that have been invaded and been turned into aggressors. And we all know it, which is why their ratings are so poor. Okay. Let's move on. That's all. You don't want to hear any of this. I want to look into aspirin and autoimmunity and immune. I've never investigated aspirin and the immune system. I know that Linus Pauling warned me that aspirin actually suppressed the immune system. I mean, I myself take an aspirin every night, like every other, you know, cardioneurotic in America. I take a
small aspirin. I get a tiny aspirin before bed. Like every other good little American, take a little aspirin before bed. Protect yourself from a heart attack. Take a little teeny aspirin. Watch your cholesterol and see your doctor.
You got to laugh at yourself, what punks we become. What a bunch of wimp punks we become as a nation. Weaklings. Yeah, the people who came over the High Sierra needed an aspirin every night, so they slept in the snow. I love it. No, the Army Rangers go to Afghanistan. They need to take a teeny aspirin every night before curling up in the snows of Afghanistan. Oh, yes. All the Navy SEALs make sure that you have a nice soft pillow and a little teeny half aspirin before you lay down in the sand at night. You want to make sure that you can keep yourself alive for another 50 years. Don't worry about the Islamo-fascist throat cutters. Worry about cardiovascular disease. Teddy likes this voice. My dog jumped up and came over and started licking my hand. He never does during a show. Hi, Ted. Look at that. Maybe he could become the new monitor of my ratings needle. If he gets up from his sleep during the show and comes over and starts licking my hand, that means I'll bet you my ratings go up. It means he likes something in the tone. He hears I'm having a good time, so he wants to be near me. See, that's a rule of life. There's an old rule in the dating world, which you heard many years ago, right? We pursue that which retreats. You remember that one? It's like if you run after someone, what happens? Let's say, you know the dating story. We pursue that which retreats. It's the basic rule of love and sex. If, let's say you're a guy and you after a girl, if she retreats, you want her more. So the guy knows he's got to play the game, make believe he doesn't want her. It's the old game, so he goes the other way, she comes after him. It's attention. Okay, we pursue that which retreats. People who are young play that stupid game. More mature people don't play that. They're more upfront with their feelings and emotions, which is better. But it's probably true in many ways, you know, in many other ways as well. Okay, let's go back to the callers. WABC Victor, thanks for holding. What is your favorite show? What memory?
Hi, Mike. This one has to do almost what you're talking about with meds. The show where you had talked about vitamin C crystals.
And, yes.
Using them, mix it with a little water, a teaspoon. And right around that time was after Sandy, and I had pneumonia like you wouldn't believe. And I went to my doctor, and I start telling the doctor that I was taking what you told me to take.
Oh, forget. The doctors are so anti-vitamin because they can't peddle you a drug. But what did the doctor say? Don't do it. It'll hurt you. Take the medicine instead?
Well, no. They said, oh, gee, I never heard of it, but this was a...
Oh, well, he was a good doctor. Most of them say, well, they're there. Well, it can't hurt you. Don't take too much. Just eat a lot of fruits and vegetables.
And if I was opening your show in January, and I don't know how it works, but I'd have Erin Klein and Jackie Mason on, and right away...
No, I don't think I'm going to have guests. See, I don't want to give anybody any star billing for my opening show. Unlike Wallbanger, I don't need to hang on guests in order to get through a five-minute segment. This guy has guests on every minute because he doesn't know what he's talking about. I do listen to him now to see who my competition is, and I'm proud to tell you there is none.
And I'm a 15-year listener.
Of my show?
Yeah, definitely. 12
so you were, how old were you when you started, 12?
I'm 67.
I'm joking. God. You know, it's been such a long time, Victor. Do you realize that there are kids who grew up listening to me who were mere children in their car, in their father's car, who started, the father would play, the father's dead. No, it's a sad, I get people who write me and they say, I don't even want to go in because it gets more than they say, look, I grew up listening to you, Mike. My father used to love you. I didn't really understand you. Now he's gone and I listen to you. You're like a father to me. It's unbelievable to me. I don't know where the time went. In many ways, I feel like the Zorba character. I'm very much like an ancient man, and a man like me should live 1,000 years. I've said that many times in very intimate moments. I sometimes look out the window and I say, a man like me should live 1,000 years. It's terrible, the thought of this kind of evolution to be just disappear from the earth. I know it sounds, you know, narcissistic and egomaniacal, but let me tell you something. That's how I feel. What's the point of developing yourself to this level? To spend so much time with so much education, so much learning, so much creativity, so much productivity, only to wind up as dust. Well, you'll have to ask God for that answer because I don't have it. You know, really, it's a metaphysical question and a theological question. There's no answer to it. Of course, you know, when you think about it, Plato wrote a little bit about it in his dialogues where he has a conversation with a slave boy who was uneducated. I remember that was a great dialogue between the interlocutor and the slave boy. And he says to the slave boy, well, slave boy, tell me this. And then the slave boy says that. Well, slave boy, tell me that. And the by the way, there were slaves in ancient Greece, and they were Greeks, incidentally, in case you missed that part of history. And slave boy, so he says, and he proves through this dialogue and through Aristotelian logic that there must be reincarnation because although the young kid had never been schooled, he was able to do mathematics. So to him, this proved that there was reincarnation, which was quite charming. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Oh, Yankee. Give up your guns, Yankee. It's hopeless to fight the all-powerful Obama administration. Yankee, give up on your borders, Yankee. Yankee, give up on your antiquated English language. Yankee, it's the language of racism. Yankee, forget your culture. You have no culture, Yankee. It's all barbarism. I feel as though I'm living with a gigantic Tokyo Rose federal government, brainwashing me every day. Saying those things in other words. They are. They're all like Tokyo Rose, all of them, in the Obama administration. That's how I feel. Not one word comes out of their mouth that's patriotic. Not one word. Not one word comes from any of them that gives me a sense that they know the country, love the country, want to see the country thrive. So did you hear about this scandal now, about the waste in government? Senator Coburn came out about the spending that goes on in the government. This is why they're cutting pensions of our military men. Are you ready for this? I'll give you one example. The so-called Department of Defense, under Hagel the Bagel, is leaving 2,000 MARPs, mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicles, in Afghanistan to be destroyed rather than delivered to other bases. Now, MARPs were rushed through the procurement process in 07 as IED attacks were taking a toll on NATO forces, right? Each such vehicle cost $500,000 to build. Your DOD is leaving them in Afghanistan to be destroyed rather than be delivered to other bases. I'd like to buy one. I mean, if I go to an Indian buffet, what better than to arrive at an MARP? I want to go to the Chinese restaurant. What would be better than an MARP to arrive at my local Chinese restaurant? Why can't I have one? I want an MARP. I'd pay, probably could buy it for $700 from the government. And you know that they're not going to destroy them. You know what Karzai is going to do with these MARPs. You know they're going to be shipped right to the so-called rebels in Syria. And by the way, you want to mark my words? That's why Hagel's leaving them behind. Not to be destroyed, but to be sent to Syria. Watch. You wait and see. They show up. Mark my words. I have a semi-prescient view of the world. You wait and see. Oh, big scandal 6 months from now. Oh, some of the MARPs we left behind in Afghanistan, which we told them to destroy, wound up in Syria. We had no idea the rebels would get them.
I'm Hagel the Bagel.
Yeah, move right on to Grumman. Move right on to Northrop Grumman. Chuck, it's all waiting for you. Keep on producing. Keep on producing. The government media complex, the military industrial complex. Yeah, what waste, my God. The report documents how Congress authorized the purchase of 21 C-27 transport planes manufactured in Italy. That's a joke unto itself. I mean, you know, you would buy an Italian airplane. Despite testimony from a former Air Force chief of staff in August 2012 that under sequestration cuts, the Air Force didn't want the plane. Also said the C-130 could do the job better. Who would buy an airplane from Italy when we have the best airplane manufacturers in the world in this country? You think there was any greed and graft going back and forth? Right, we needed airplanes made in Italy because we know how well they do airplanes. I mean, if you want pasta, you go to Italy. Right? If you want spaghetti carbonara, you go to Italy. You don't go for a military jet. to Italy. Who put that contract out? Where is he today? Where's his mansion? We're in
Join
Fort Lauderdale.
Savage is he? Nation. Call now. 855-400-7282. Savage.
We are here together speaking for the American people in solidarity with you. We are here because your peaceful process and peaceful protest is inspiring your country and inspiring the world. Ukraine will make Europe better, and Europe will make Ukraine better. People of Ukraine, this is your moment. The free world is with you. America is with you. I am with you.
Here's the question. Was McCain born crazy, or do you think he became crazy from the torture he sustained in Vietnam? That's the only question I have. I mean, we do respect what the man lived through at the hands of his Vietnamese torturers. We respect that service to America. But you can't forgive him for what he's done ever since. He went to Egypt after we'd installed the dictator Morsi, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. The people rebelled, threw Morsi in jail. They begged for the military to come back. And this fool went over there and said to the people, oh, take Morsi back. Take our stooge back, because that's democratic. They almost threw him in the Nile River. The man has learned nothing of what he is talking about. How does he do it? Who do you think is paying McCain to go around trying to stir up war? You remember he went with that loser from, it was McCain and the other clown. They went over there trying to get us to bomb Graham. Those two losers should have been thrown in jail for what they did. They went to Syria and tried to stir up a world war. They were telling us to use our air force against Assad. Do you understand what that would have triggered? Do you have any idea what that would have done to the world's stability or instability? And they got away with it. They come back. There's no consequences for their behavior. None whatsoever. They're like roving viruses. Wherever they show up, something goes wrong. Somebody dies. Speaking about dying, I want to go back to a health topic on the Savage Nation, just to show you we can jump at a moment's notice without scratching the record. Remember I said to you earlier, I don't know if aspirin suppresses the immune system, because I just told you opioids do, which all pain kills should be avoided as often, as frequently as possible, hard, never use them. My mother wouldn't even take an aspirin. All right, so she lived to 88, though, because she could have lived longer if the butchers didn't get her at the end. I'll never forget, that was a horrible story. She got bowel, cancer, but it was a slow-growing tumor, and she was going to go into surgery after a few months. A Chinese doctor called me crying, begging me not to permit the surgery. He was so wonderful. I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't there. He said, please don't let them do it to your mother. She could live another 5 to 10 years if they don't open her up. They opened her up, and she suffered violently and died. Okay, that's the butchers of, what can you do about it? But that woman wouldn't take an aspirin. Now, I told you that by reading the study that I quoted earlier on opioids and painkillers suppressing your immune system and opening you up to infection, you should avoid painkillers, right? So I said, wait a minute, what about aspirin? Because I remember Linus Pauling told me that aspirin suppresses the immune system, but I never, ever researched that. Well, I just did. It's been known since at least 1975. Here it is. You ready for this? Increased virus shedding with aspirin treatment, JAMA, 1975. Now, these studies are not well known, but here's one right now, 1990. Adverse effects of aspirin, acetaminophen, and ibuprofen on immune function, viral shedding, and clinical status in rhinovirus-infected volunteers. Without describing the study, you should understand that anyone who took aspirin and acetaminophen in the study, the viruses that they were given lasted longer rather than shorter. So if you get a viral infection, don't take aspirin, don't take acetaminophen, don't take ibuprofen, take massive doses of powdered vitamin C. And I don't care what the quack drug peddlers tell you. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care what the quack drug peddlers tell you. That's what they learn in the drug peddling school. 855-400-7282. So I may stop taking aspirin now, and I love aspirin. Aspirin works like a tranquilizer for me. It's amazing what aspirin does for me. It's like a sleeping pill. I'm probably a super inflamed individual, which should have killed me 25 years ago. Again, another, everything's doesn't make any sense. My lipids are upside down. LDLs are reverse of the HDLs. Triglycerides are off the chart. But thank God there's a fraction, a lipid fraction, that you cannot control through any medication, nor through any vitamins. It's called LPA. It's an inherited fraction. My LPA is extremely low. All the others are like a Frankenstein. So I don't take any of those drugs. I tried them once. My legs went out. Horrible. A nightmare. Lipitor. No matter what dose, no matter what brand, I can't take them. So I said, I can't live with it. I'd rather live like this and take my vitamins and vitamin E and the garlic and the alcohol and, you know, watch my diet, which I've been doing for 50 years. 40 years, I've written books on it, for God's sakes. I'm not going to go for the drugs. And so I said, how am I still not? Still didn't get one of those, huh? Didn't think of that. So about 5 years ago, it was LPA, turns out. Very low. Lipoprotein A. You cannot modify it. So I must have gotten my mother's, genetics in that regard. So now I'm going to make jokes about it now if you want. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. God bless her. And I'm starting with, you know, the Anthony Perkins now, with the hill, with the old house, the Victorian, the wig. Go ahead. See if I can't make... No, I'm not going to appear on stage in my mother's clothing. No, I'm not doing it, even for a laugh. It's all funny anyway. What does it mean? God laughs at all of us. We're just as marionettes at the end of the day, Teddy. We're just as clowns. I think God is bored sometimes. He created us just for entertainment. You ever get that feeling? The whole thing's like a psychotic whack job joke. And that we've just created as an entertainment for some, you know, space creature. We take every second so seriously. Every step we have, like, over our head a camera. Every one of us is like a roving director, producer, and camera following us. I am now going into the boardroom. I will now deliver a speech. I will talk about profit and loss. I will motivate the salespeople. I will fire the senior vice presidents. I will do this. I will do that. You know, okay, fine. I mean, we have to do something in our life. I will get up and do a radio show. I will be brilliant. I will be witty. I will be poignant. I will get ratings. I will move on to all the big stations in January, right? Then what? What happens? Well, you know God's got the card. You know he's going to throw some curveball. You know that. You just know it. You just know that there's going to be a curveball somewhere that you don't expect. But you got to go on as though this is never going to happen. You got to go on as though you believe that, you know, it's will that you can't believe. Right to the end, it's going to go your way. And you usually can, okay, you keep pushing, you can't. Otherwise, you just give up and you become like a leaf in a stream. I mean, what do you want to be, a human being with willpower? Or you want to be a leaf in a stream that just the current takes you down, you know, and it takes you into the sea or the sewer? Where do you want to go with that? My father used to say to me, and this is how he turned me into a strong person, I'll tell you right now. I don't know how I got into this. I don't even mean I went from aspirin to my father and mother. But okay, either you like what I do or you don't. Either you get my drift or you don't get it. Either you dig the whole thing and the, what do you call this, free associationalism? Fine. Either you like it or you don't. Either it's too much for you or it's not enough for you. Or you can take more of it or you hate it all. It's that simple. It's worked for me. Hey, look where I am and look where you are. I mean, it's worked for me. Don't tell me how to do a radio show. I got to tell you, this is what I do. I'm not going to be a shill for George Bush and the Republican Party for the rest of my life. What's wrong with these people? That's what they're doing now. So, what can I tell you? What was I talking about my father? I got distracted. I blocked it because I didn't want to disclose. Oh, so Dad tormented me all the time. You're weak. You have no willpower. I can hear him to this day. God bless. He was trying to toughen me up. He was like a drill sergeant. I don't know if fathers still do this. They should. I mean, there are other ways to motivate a kid. I never did that to my kids. I didn't do the European style, you know, where you're weak, you're nothing, you'll never amount to anything. I never did that. I had another friend who was a very wealthy man, built everything on his own. His father, if he come home with a 99, his father would say, how come you didn't get 100 in Brooklyn? Ask him. He got a 98. The father would almost look at him like a complete loser. What's the matter? You couldn't get the 100? There was something wrong with you? Today, the father would be arrested. But there are cultures that still do that. You don't talk about, what, the tiger mother or whatever? Thank God the Chinese Americans never forgot that. They still raise their children the old way. That's why the children succeed in school. The wimp school produces morons and losers. They sit home till they're 36 with a hairnet and go to a club at night. They wonder why they can't get a career started. So he say to me, oh, you have no willpower. Over and over, torture me. I hated it. I hated him for it. I hated him. And it toughened, made me want to have willpower. So what I'm saying to you is this show is generated all by willpower. Where did I get the will to write 28 books, get a PhD, 2 master's degrees, overcome all of the things that stood in my way? I have to ask myself. Willpower. I didn't want to let anything stand in my way. It's that simple. And because you're all going to have impediments every day of your life. There's an impediment here, impediment there, an impediment there, an impediment, everywhere an impediment. So you have to overcome them. You have to learn how to just bypass them all. So I would teach my kids, look to the mountaintop. Remember I told you that last week? The Native American wisdom. Look to the mountaintop. I'd walk with my son in the back of a valley. I remember it. And we'd be in the bottom of the valley, and there was mountains up on the top. You know, not high mountains, California mountains in the hills around San Francisco. We'd walk in a certain creek bed, and I would always say, look to the mountaintop. And he'd say, what does that mean, Dad? I told him, Native American lore. No matter how dark and deep the valley is, always look to the mountaintop because you're going to come out on the top. And it's a metaphor. Understand, corny if you want, laugh at it if you want. It works. Children understand these things. They really do. They really want. They want guidance. They want encouragement. Not like I look at the Little League fields, I want to cry for these kids. There are kids who shouldn't play ball. They're not coordinated. They have no strength. They can't hit a ball. The kid swings a bat and almost hits the catcher in the head. Good shot, Johnny. Almost smacks the catcher in the face with the bat. The bat falls out of the kid's hand like a Schmendrick. The kid should learn how to play a violin. Take the stupid uniform on him, off him, and teach him how to play the piano. You know, we need musicians. Not every moron has to be a baseball player like an idiot. Everyone has to throw a basketball. Every moron. A little shrimpy white kid has a basketball in his backyard. Why? When did that become a cultural goal, that you should throw a basketball into a hoop? Why? Why is that a goal? Why not give him violin lessons? I don't understand this country of ours. I mean, the whole country is upside down. The parents are on drugs. The children are on drugs. And Teddy, you see, he barks on the truth. He heard me. He knows. All right, he likes the show. The ratings just went through the ceiling. Now, before I take this break, I've been waiting to... I was going to talk about this at the beginning of the show, which was almost 2 hours ago. But it took me 2 hours to warm up to this. I couldn't believe this article. Okay, so let me develop it. Is free thinking a mental illness? Now, let me read you this article because your hair should stand up of what these psychotics called psychiatrists with the DSM manual are doing to us. Is nonconformity and free thinking a mental illness? According to the newest edition of DSM-4, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, it certainly is. The manual identifies a new mental illness called oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. It defines it as an ongoing pattern of, listen to this, disobedient, hostile, and defiant behavior. Symptoms include questioning authority. Now, the liberals in the 70s had bumper stickers saying question authority. Now that we question the illegitimate who are running the world off the rails, we're crazy now? Symptoms include questioning authority, negativity, defiance, argumentativeness, and being easily annoyed. Everyone who's good in talk radio now is nuts. The DSM-4 is the manual used by psychiatrists to diagnose mental illnesses, and with each new edition, there are scores of new mental illnesses. Are we becoming sicker? Of course not. Listen to this. You're not going to believe the rest of it. New mental illnesses identified by the DSM-4 include, I'm not making any of this up, arrogance, narcissism, above-average creativity, cynicism, and antisocial behavior. The president would qualify now. I would qualify. Anyone who's anything would qualify. Arrogance, narcissism, above-average creativity, and cynicism. Everyone who is creative qualifies for those characteristics. Everyone. Everyone. I don't care who they are. I don't care what field they're in. Baseball, creativity, painting, ball playing. It doesn't matter. In the past, these were called personality traits, but now the psychotics are calling them diseases. And there's treatments available. Drugs. Drugs. If Mozart were born today, he would be diagnosed with ADD and medicated into barren normality, wrote the Washington Post. Well, great. My book, Healing Children Naturally, I wrote that if Tom Sawyer were alive today, he'd be declared to have ADD and be put on medication. This is frightening. Why? Because the Soviet Union used new mental illnesses for political repression. People who did not accept the beliefs of the Communist Party were called schizophrenics. People who did not accept the tenets of the Communist Party were said to suffer from the delusion of believing, those who did not accept the beliefs of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union were said to suffer from the delusion of believing communism was wrong. And since they were delusional, they were isolated, forcefully medicated, and put through repressive therapy to bring them back to sanity. This is what the psychiatric establishment is moving towards in this country under the rotten, stinking, evil, progressive monsters running the country. There, I've done it, and I feel great, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now look, the subject of the last segment is probably the most important thing I've read to you in months. Free thinking is now a mental illness. Creativity is a mental illness. Cynicism is a mental illness. Questioning authority is a mental illness. This is absolutely out of the Soviet Union, but now it's official in the DSM-4 put out by the psychotic liberal psychiatric establishment. They're getting ready to use it to lock you up if you question authority. Some states have laws that which allow protective agencies to forcibly medicate and even make it a punishable crime to withhold medication. So if you're a nonconformist, get ready to go to jail. And the article says, although the authors of the manual claim no ulterior motives but simply better diagnostic practices, let me tell you something. Labeling free thinking and nonconformity as mental illnesses will be abused. It will become a weapon in the arsenal of the new so-called liberal repressive state. At the same time they're trying to repress you for standing up to their lies and their cheating and their corruption, they're flooding us with illegal aliens. Obama's going to do it to you during the Christmas holidays. While in Britain, this just came out. It's on Drudge. Brits tell Cameron, draw a red line on immigration or else. The British people have issued a red line demand to David Cameron, win back our power to halt immigration from the EU or we'll throw you out on your skinny butt. And here in America, we have liars like Nancy Pelosi telling us that everyone comes here to work. The illegal alien family is sacred while the American family doesn't exist. You understand why the ratings are in the garbage for these liars? People understand who they are. They don't buy it anymore. You say, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'll let you figure out what you're going to do about it. I'll let you figure out what you're going to do about it. It's a long way until next November. It's a long way till next November. But if you don't throw these liberal socialists out of office, your country is toast. It's the last election we will ever have that has any meaning whatsoever. Remember that. You have to put in hardline, borders, language, culture, conservatives. Don't tell me about libertarians, please. People don't even know what a libertarian is. Most of them are pro-Islamic, pro-Islamist, anti-Israel, anti-savage. You look into the heart of the libertarian movement, you'd be surprised who might be funding them. They supported CAIR, C-A-I-R. Be very careful. Don't be seduced by the lies of these alleged third-party organizations. They're meant to suck you away from putting in a conservative in the Republican Party. Forget about a third-party movement. It will destroy any chance we have of regaining the Senate and the House. The only chance we have is to take it back. Now, I got very political toward the end because I believe every word I just said. I've been devoting the last 3 months, and I will be devoting the next 10 months, to writing a nonfiction book on this exact topic. It may be my last nonfiction book on politics that I ever write. We have one card left to play. And when that book comes out in October, it's meant for one reason only. And that reason is for you to carry it around, show it around, walk it around, talk it around. Subways, cars, buses, office, coffee tables. Get them to understand what's at stake. Throw the liars and the cheats out of office. Borders, language, culture. No illegal aliens in our country. Close the damn borders!
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, welcome to hour number three of The Savage Nation for Tuesday, the 17th of December, 2013. Yesterday we talked about the big lie coming out of the pharmaceutical medical establishment trying to convince you that multivitamins are a waste of money. Well, let me repeat again. I suggest if you're a liberal, you believe the establishment and throw your vitamins down the toilet. If, on the other hand, you're a free thinker and a conservative and love America, why don't you continue taking your vitamins, since the study is completely flawed and nothing but a propaganda piece? It is a lie. One giant lie. First of all, let me explain it to you in detail. The study was done in a way so that you couldn't even determine what they were taking. They didn't even tell you that. They didn't tell you that at all. In the second study, they looked at people who had had a first heart attack. And did we know what they were taking before the heart attack? No. The second study looked at 1,700 patients who previously had had a heart attack. They were told to take three multivitamins or placebos twice a day for 5 years. The problem was more than 50% of the patients dropped out, stopped their medications. So the scientists who did the study said they couldn't come to any conclusions whatsoever. They said the interpretation is very difficult, yet the media leapt on it and said, oh, multivitamins are a waste of money. Okay? In a final study, 6,000 men older than 65, all doctors, who took either a multivitamin or a placebo for 12 years, were said to have had no difference in their test results. Well, hello? All of them were physicians with no health problems. They are all well-nourished, very health-conscious people. And none of the studies accurately represents the American population. The fact of the matter is most Americans don't have a healthy diet and therefore don't get the vitamins and minerals they need. And if you're not getting any of these micronutrients from diet sodas and hot dogs and French fries, you absolutely need to take multivitamins. However, having said all of that, why don't you just listen to the establishment, which is trying to drive you away from anything that can help you that is not a prescription, okay? Do me a favor. If you're a liberal, flush your vitamins down the toilet. That's all. Next case. I studied it. I read it. I mean, I don't want to do it again. I did it last night. Once is enough for me. Another guy in radio would milk it for 6 months. 6 months, they go on with the same story. And the strange part is that people would listen to it. That's the part I don't understand. You know, you could take one topic in talk radio and run it for 3 to 6 months, and your ratings won't change. You could talk about Obamacare and its failures from, let's say, June until December, and your ratings are about the same. I don't understand that part of it. Is there no creativity? Doesn't anybody else get bored of themselves? Don't they have to change the subject every once in a while? No, I guess not. I could do the Ukraine again, which I'm going to do. It's really a great topic, great show. I played McCain. It went over very well yesterday. I told you what I think of McCain and the whole Ukraine breakaway thing. I mean, I think by what I said yesterday, Putin should invite me to Russia for a visit. And the reason I won't go is manifold. Number one, my father fled Russia. My grandfather fled Russia in 1917, I believe. I have no desire to go back there. Secondly, I have never developed a taste for polonium sushi. So I doubt very much that I want to visit. But, no, they really, I should be invited. I don't think I would go over there. You know, Bush was in power. He invited all the conservatives to the White House except me. Wallbanger went. Limbaugh went. Limburger Cheese went. They were all invited to Bush's buffet. Then they got embarrassed by being called water carriers for Bush, which they did proudly. And then sort of toward the end of his regime, when it was seen to be that I was correct in calling him a fiscal socialist, they said that they had been a water carrier for Bush, but they were no longer a water carrier for Bush. And yet today I turn on the radio, and they were all lauding Bush again. Does anyone not listen to what people actually say? Am I the only one who says, do you listen to what I say, or you just listen to my voice because I'm sort of hypnotic? How do you feel about John McCain going there and saying he speaks for the American people? That's number one. I'm outraged. Number two, do you think the Ukraine should join the EU or Russia? Number three, do you agree with me that we have experience of what will happen if they join the EU, which is what Russia did to Georgia when they tried to break away? Do you remember that? Do you remember what happened? Do you remember? Does anyone have a memory that goes back more than the last NFL game? The last Super Bowl? I remember what happened. People died. It was horrible. And so it's going to happen again. Vladimir Putin's not letting them break away and join the corrupt EU. That's number three. Number four, this nonsense about democracy has gotten us in hot water across the entire Arab Crescent. Democracy has led to the ascendancy of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. That's all democracy has gotten us. That is like saying if Hitler won, which he won, by the way, through a democratic process by rigging the elections with his Nazi goons. After Hitler had won, McCain goes over there and would say to them, well, the German people have spoken. Let's go with their democratic vote. That's not what should have been done then. Hitler should have been taken out the minute he won, but there was no one to take him out. In fact, you know, there was a great article this weekend by Michael Goodwin of the New York Post called The Selfie President, How the West Was Lost by the Selfie President. It was a great article. And he made an interesting point. Goodwin wrote that Hitler's problem was he was born too soon. I was shocked by that. And then I read on, and he said, had Hitler been born now and he was facing Obama and Cameron in England, he would have been able to overrun the entire West. Because nobody would have stood up. These two guys would never have stood up to him. But Hitler had FDR and Churchill at that time, real statesmen, real leaders, real fiber, real men. And then, of course, he was defeated by them at great cost to the world, and especially to the United States of America, and in fact to the Russians as well, who lost millions and millions of men to defeat Nazism. But there's a real point in what Goodwin wrote, which is that we have spineless narcissists as leaders of the West. There's no leadership whatsoever. There's no leadership whatsoever. So now we have McCain stepping into the breach, going and meddling in Russia's affairs. Where does he get the audacity to do this? This man is the worst of the litter. The worst of the litter. How this happened, I don't know. The Zuni rocket on the Forrestal right to now, still going off too soon. Still firing rockets on the deck, sinking ships and airplanes. The man is a lunatic. What do you think Russia will do if the Ukraine tries to break away and join the EU? They will invade as they did with Georgia. And then what? You want a war with Russia now? We don't have enough problems in the world? The man is crazy. He did it in Egypt. He did it in Libya. He did it in Syria. He tried to start a war. You don't remember what this putz did? He tried to get us to bomb in Syria. He wanted another world war. The man is a warmonger, crazy man. My opinion. 855-400-7282. But look, we got questions hanging in the air right now on the Savage Nation. Before I go to your calls, and they're good ones, on McCain meddling in Russian affairs, I have to say, please go to michaelsavage.com and look at the stories tonight. It's very important because there's more than this going on. And the vitamin study is a fake, according to the Annals of Internal Medicine, which I actually read rather than the CBS report. The dropout rate amongst those taking the vitamins was so high that they considered the study itself invalid. That those are the authors of the study. Yet the crazed journalists leaped to a conclusion, don't take vitamins. So do me a favor. If you're a liberal, please take your vitamins and flush them down the toilet. Please. Believe CBS News and CNN. Don't believe Michael Savage. I beg you, make my day. Go ahead and make my year. Flush your vitamins down the toilet if you're a liberal. Please. Do me a favor, especially if you live on Pacific Heights. 855-407-282. Can Cruz beat Hillary? My personal opinion? I doubt it. Not because Cruz isn't a better man. He's a far better man. And everyone dismisses him because the media is so evil. They do to Cruz what they did to me and anyone else who stands up to the liberal dreadnought. You got to remember who Cruz is. He's got all the credentials to run. He's of Hispanic origin. That doesn't count, though. He went to Harvard, not on affirmative action. He was, I believe, the editor of the Law Review because he's so brilliant. In fact, a Harvard professor called him one of his most brilliant students, unlike our president, whose college records remain buried. Nobody knows what he did at college nor how he became the editor of the Law Review. No doubt we assume it was done for reasons other than his sheer brilliance. We would have to assume that if we are reasonably skeptical. We are a skeptical people by nature. The American people are skeptical by nature. And I remain skeptical of Obama's brains, by the way. Cunning, yes. can use everybody to beat the band. Yes, cunning as they come. 855-400-7282. All right, here's what I'm going to do. Be my producer for a day. What would you say the minute I open my show on January 2nd to my large new audience? Remember, my P1 audience, my hardcore will never miss it for anything in the world. They'll call in sick. Number two, list your favorite Savage segments through the years. Two friends who I trust told me that one of the best shows I did this year was the day I came back from the Super Bowl, my musings about New Orleans. They loved it, the walking around the city, how I described New Orleans as the real San Francisco, how San Francisco pretends to be a bohemian city but isn't anymore, if it ever was. God knows when it was. They're living on the fumes of, the past. They loved that. My visit to the transvestite in this. You remember that conversation? That was a good one. But I wanted to also concurrently tell you, last night I was high as a kite, just flying. I was happy. Tonight I've been dragging all day. I don't know what's wrong with me. And it dawned on me what did it to me. And see, that's a whole segment right there. I can't even do all of this at once. It's too multitasking. And the new DSM manual says that creativity is a form of mental disorder. So if Picasso were alive, they'd put him in a straitjacket. If Mozart were a child, he wouldn't be able to compose anything. They put him on Adderall. That's the kind of psychotics running our medical establishment today. Normally, after a show, I don't eat. I don't even drink because my energy is high. The adrenaline's high. And the first rule is never have alcohol when your adrenaline's too high. You'll get sick. You'll screw up your thermostat. Okay? You don't run adrenaline versus alcohol ever. You don't do it. Conversely, you don't drink alcohol when you're low. Never drink when you're depressed. Ever. That's suicide. So last night I violated all my rules. I went off the air, and I went to return three pair of pajamas that I bought in Nordstrom's. I wait every year to buy flannel pajamas that I like from Nordstrom's. I bought them the day before, and lo and behold, they weren't the same anymore. They were made in China, number one. I knew that the flannel was rougher than it had been before. I even said it when I bought it. I figured, it's the same. What are you going to do? But it was rough flannel. It wasn't good. I get it home, I open it up, and bingo, it's no longer the waist the way I like it with just a drawstring. It has an elastic band around the waist. Horrible. So I said, oh, God, not again. They're tricking me even on Nordstrom Christmas pajamas. So, I mean, communist flannel, okay, I get it. Then to top it off, I said, okay, I'll keep it. So I wash one pair because the stink is so bad. All new clothing stinks. The chemicals, you can't wear them. What's the point of buying a new, and you have to wash? It's soft, right? I throw it in the, and I do a cold water wash. It comes out two sizes too small. There was more lint in the lint catcher than there are feathers hanging from people who still hang the dream catchers on their mirror. That's not a bad line. How's that? I could do that. I'm not in the mood to read the news tonight. Let's see. Here we go. If your attention span were longer than a beer commercial, you'd know that Carter's decision means the world is suffering today as radical Islam sweeps across the globe from the epicenter of Iran. I wrote that in 2005. How could that be since I'm unknown in the media? Banned not only in Britain, but banned on Fox News. They have unknown talk show hosts on, radio talk shows no one listens to. Meanwhile, I'm not allowed on the air. Well, it's their loss, not mine. The only thing I could say is this. While I am somewhat upset that I cannot visit Britain, because I really do need to access the great dental care that the Universal Health Service is known for and the superb cuisine of England, and I've been denied this since 2009, there is nothing akin to that that I am missing from Fox News, other than the smell of horrendous cheap perfume, which I am allergic to. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I didn't finish my thought. I didn't know why I was dragging today. I was high yesterday. It wasn't the pajamas. I was leading to something. After I returned the pajamas, and I felt bad about it, I'm apologetic when I return something. The salesman doesn't care. That's one good thing. But I'm apologetic. I come from another time and place. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to buy it. The guys looked at me like I was crazy. I'm sorry to do it. But I returned three. So then afterwards, I was like, okay. Then I bought a coat. I needed a new winter coat. I bought a three-quarter coat. Looked nice in the three-way mirror. I liked the way my hair looked from behind. Talked myself into it. Didn't really need it. One of those nights. First of all, I get it home. It stinks of perfume. Everything you buy in a department store today is permeated by rotten, stinking perfume. So I now have to return the coat tomorrow night. I could go tonight. They're open till late. I may have to return the coat immediately in the morning. It stinks. I figured one day hanging in the garage. I have to hang my clothing in a garage when I get it home, new clothing. The perfume is on everything from the perfume store. I'm returning it to the same guy. It'll be another repeat. It's like, hey, I'm back again. I'm sorry I bought a coat. I have to return. You know what's going to come? Oh, is that guy again? He's coming in to return. I never do this. I'm going to returning the coat now. I can't even buy myself anything. No wonder I wear like clothes from 10 years ago. It's outgassed. You know what I mean? But wait, that's not why I don't feel good. It's not the coat, because I didn't wear it. It was in the car. I was bored. I didn't want to just go home. So I decided to go eat, which I never do after a show. I go home and I snack. Much smarter. I follow my own advice, right, Mr. Health? Said, I can't take it anymore. It's holidays. I'm alone. Let me go have a meal. I go to a local Italian restaurant, which is like walking through a jungle of hatred, filled with waiters like you have never seen anything like these people. They're known to hate the customers. So I go in, and there's almost nobody in there. It's like a chain restaurant. It's, you know, mezza. But I know the chef is a very nice guy, and he makes me calamari and spaghetti the way I like it. So the maitre d' is French, of all things, and he says to me, well, who do you want to wait on you? It was pretty empty. I said, just anyone who doesn't spit in my food. So he laughed, because there are quite a few who probably spit in the food on a regular basis. I think they went to the Jesse Jackson School of Waiterology. All right, so I get the calamari and spaghetti. I have a couple of beers, go home. And meal today, I'm dragging, and it dawned on me. I said, look, Michael, you violated everything that you believe in. First of all, you ate a large meal after your high energy, your adrenaline was through the ceiling, right? Number two, you know the calamari that they get in this chain comes from the China. You know it's toxic garbage. And that's why I'm dragging. I proved it. I used myself as a guinea pig. Once again, I couldn't violate my own belief system in terms of knowledge, rather. The calamari is poison. All seafood from China is toxic garbage. Poison. I wouldn't serve it to a pig. My arms hurt from it. All because of the neurotoxins in this garbage that they let into this country because of the greed that they let this filth into the nation. So there it is. I'm not eating there again. Never.
Savage.
You know, over the weekend I read a shocking article in the New York Post which said that there might be a possible Saudi involvement in 9/11 that nobody's talking about, including some 28 pages of missing information in the 9/11 report. I'm not into deep conspiracy theories, but this one caught my eye. Joining us now on the Savage Nation is the author of that article, Hoover Institution Media Fellow and author of Infiltration, How Muslim Spies and Subversives Have Penetrated Washington. Of all things, I'm shocked. Right. Paul Sperry. Mr. Sperry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, the pleasure is mine, Michael.
So what's missing in those missing 28 pages, the censored section on 9/11?
Yeah, according to people who have read it, it directly implicates the Saudi embassy in Washington and the Saudi consulate in Los Angeles. And even to some extent, it incriminates some key members of the royal family. And from my own investigations, from my book Infiltration, I found that the hijackers got help from Saudi officials and agents in no fewer than 7 U.S. cities coast to coast. And we're talking about Los Angeles, San Diego, D.C., talking about Falls Church, Virginia, and Herndon, Virginia, and Sarasota, Florida, Paterson, New Jersey. And when you lay all those intersections out, those venues, as I did in that New York Post column, you really see that that's not just a coincidence, as we've been told. That's a support network by a foreign state inside America.
Paul, you mentioned possible Saudi family involvement. How far do you really think it goes?
Well, I'm told that Prince Nayef, the former, at the time, was this hardliner interior minister of interior in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia at the time, and had a son in Los Angeles who I'm told flew out of LAX, fled the country around the time of the attacks. And then, of course, Prince Bandar figures prominently in these 28 blanked out pages in this, the secret Saudi section of that congressional report in 2002. Prince Bandar was the Saudi ambassador in Washington at the time, About $130,000 in checks were traced back to his personal account and that of his wife, Princess Haifa, and traced back all the way to San Diego to a Saudi intelligence agent who was the bag man, the main bag man for the hijackers and a handler for the Saudi hijackers starting in San Diego. That money found its way back into the hijackers' hands and was traced back. A number of other funds from Bandar directly to Al-Qaeda figures, including this Al-Qaeda figure in Florida was considered the next Mohammed Atta, as you recall. Atta was the ringleader of the 9/11 hijackers. Money went to Al-Shukr's Yuma, his family. And there was so much money that was being traced back to accounts held by either the Saudi embassy or Bandar personally himself that by 2004, the Riggs Bank in Washington, which held the Saudis' account, canceled their account and closed it up, said there's just too much suspicious activity going through here. And the next year, after a number of Saudi embassy employees started popping up in counterterrorism investigations, Riyadh recalled Bandar, called him back to Saudi Arabia. He was no longer Saudi ambassador. It was just becoming too embarrassing for him. I'm told by members that JTTF are following all these leads back to the embassy. But, of course, a lot of those leads were blocked by the White House, by the Bush administration. Every time they tried to run down leads, really get aggressive, they were thwarted or stymied. You know, these case agents I've talked to, they just want to protect the country. You know, these are career guys. They're not political. They just want to protect the country from terrorists, and they weren't allowed to do their job when it came to the Saudis. These same investigators have told me unequivocally that Bush let the Saudis off the hook, you know, period. Usually in a report like that, a sensitive report, there are cases where you have to go and do some redacting, like a term here, some names there, full sentences sometimes, to protect methods and sources, okay? That wasn't done in this case. Every single word, 7,200 words, were erased. They were scrubbed out. Any reference to the Saudis and Saudi Arabia from that entire section. So that gives you a sense of just how radioactive that section was.
Paul, why do you think this information was taken out of the report?
You know, there's a number of theories why Bush decided to abruptly step in and censor that section. My sense is that he trusted his old family friend Bandar. This is the Saudi ambassador, a longtime friend of the Bush clan. Just trusted his family friend when he told him that, hey, look, all these Saudi hijackers and all these Saudi connections, they were just big coincidence. You know, I think the president had a huge blind spot when it came to the Saudis. And I don't think there's any larger conspiracy than that. It's just that simple, you know, good old-fashioned cronyism. At the end of the day, I think President Bush took Bandar's word over that of the FBI and CIA agents in these reports. It's as simple as that. But it could be something more than that. But that's my personal hunch. So I went back and I recently watched the video of a 2003 press conference with President Bush, in which a reporter stood up and asked him, hey, why are you censoring this report that incriminates the Saudis, the Saudi government? He actually said the Saudi government. Why are you censoring this report that incriminates the Saudi government? And Bush's response was interesting because he didn't deny it. He didn't deny that it was Saudi. He didn't deny it was incriminating against the Saudi government. But he went on to say he could not release that information to the public because it could tip off subjects of ongoing investigations. Okay. Yet none of those Saudis in that session were ever investigated. So that doesn't add up. It doesn't jive. And look, there was more evidence for the Department of Justice at that time to indict this guy Bayoumi, the Saudi intelligence agent who was the bag man for the hijackers, than there was to indict Zacharias Moussaoui, who was supposedly the 20th hijacker. But the difference is, Moussaoui wasn't a Saudi, and Bayoumi was. There was much more evidence that Bayoumi could have been charged with material support of terrorism than Moussaoui. but we didn't go after Bayoumi. We let him leave the country safe and sound over right now in Saudi Arabia. He's still living at large over there. He never faced even an interrogation.
After all these years, why is this so relevant now?
Well, it still matters now because these bad guys who are cited in the report are still out there, unpunished, never been brought to justice. In fact, some are still in the U.S. They've never been deported, even, let alone been jailed, not even been kicked out of the country. And now, some of them are probably more dangerous than ever. Now, let's take Bandar, for instance. He was recently, this was last year, he was promoted to become intelligence chief for Saudi Arabia. That's huge. And he's recently been accused of unleashing terrorists and jihadists into Syria and into Iraq. And now he's in a tussle with Putin over in Russia for backing the terrorists, the jihadists in Chechnya, this breakaway region that is constantly doing the terrorist attacks interior against all the way into Moscow. And Putin's been fighting them like we've been fighting our own jihadists internally. And Bandar went to Putin recently and said, hey, look, you know, I know you got the Olympics coming up. I can help with security because I control the Chechen jihadists. And Putin told him to go pound sand. He said, you not only control them, you've been backing them. You've been bankrolling them all these years. And so now Bandar has much more power. I mean, he's now the intelligence minister over there. And this guy, Bayoumi, who was his top bagman for the hijackers, the Saudi, he's still at large. I mean, he's safe and sound back in Saudi. He never faced interrogation.
Well, can people do anything, Paul?
Oh, that's a great question. You can get it rolling just like I've been trying to get it rolling, which is to get it out in the media because so many, not just the public isn't even aware of this. Members of Congress don't have a clue that, first of all, that was covered up in their own report and that they haven't even gone in to read it, and they have every right to read it. They don't have to pass any FBI background check. They don't have to have clearance. If you're elected official federally, you do not have to have a background check. You have automatic access to all that secret classified information. All you have to do is ask to read it. So two congressmen recently, this is the news hook for why I wrote this column, but I've been working on this for 12 years, but now you have a little bit of interest sparked again by these two congressmen. One was a Republican from North Carolina and the other from a Democrat from Boston. They went in and read the went into a SCIF, you know, secret compartmented information facility within Congress in the Capitol, and all you have to do is ask. Well, it took them a month-long letter-writing campaign to the intelligence panels to get permission to finally go in there, and they went in there and they read it, and they were bowled over. I mean, they were completely, absolutely shocked at what's been covered up in there about the Saudis. So they proposed a resolution for pressuring President Obama to finally declassify this section for the public, the American people. And they've got a resolution. I don't know if it's going to be voted on soon before the Christmas break. I doubt it. In the House, and they're trying to get one going in the Senate. And then at the same time, you have a number of families of the 9/11 victims who are agitating for this. They actually got a promise from Obama in 2009. Hey, I will declassify that report. He sat down with those families, and then he has not honored his word. He has not kept his promise and declassified that report to this day.
Paul, where can we read more of your work?
I write for editorials for a living. That's my main gig. I moonlight sometimes on these other issues, but I write for a financial paper, business paper. It's a national newspaper, competes with the Wall Street Journal, called Investors Business Daily. We have a great editorial page. It's a Pulitzer Prize winning editorial page. We got a great fan base, Investors Business Daily. And I also write books on, since 9/11, on terrorism. I've written Infiltration, of course, which I uncovered a lot of misclassified information in there.
Paul Sperry, thanks again for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Hey, thank you.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. There's a poll on God and believing in God. Now, the poll is another faker. Another one put out by the liberal slime. First, they tell you multivitamins are worthless by doing a study that's worthless. Poll. Americans' belief in God is strong but declining. Rubbish. How do I know it's rubbish? You want me to read it to you? Remember, I'm a trained epidemiologist. You ready? The Harris poll on God was conducted online within the United States among 2,250 adults ages 18 and older. Now, what's wrong with that statement in terms of objectivity? The Harris poll was conducted online. It's invalid because many older people, most of whom believe in God, generally will not go to an online poll. That's number one. Number two, how many people have the time to do answer polls online? Mainly atheists who are on drugs. So they give you the new headline, Americans' belief in God is strong but declining. Oh, come on. That's such rubbish. Every day you turn, there's an attack on God, on America, on the family, on our borders, on our language, on our culture. You know what they do. They're devils. Our political opponents are the devil themselves. 72% believe in miracles, down from 79%. Oh, well, I'll worry about that. 68% believe in heaven, down from 75%. I'm sure God is quaking in his cloud. 68% believe in heaven, down from 75%. Hey, God, watch out, your ratings are falling. The Harris poll says your numbers are declining, God. 68% believe that, 64% believe in the survival of the soul after death, down from 69%. Hey, God, your numbers are dropping like a rock. You better get down here. 58% believe in the devil and hell, down from 62%. Down? Wait a minute. Oh, 57% believe in the virgin birth, down from 60%. Leave me out of that one. Sorry, there's a certain point with my first grade education in science up through my PhD. You cannot believe in virgin birth. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen. It's impossible. Now, I know you're going to get mad at me, but go ahead, get mad at me. Go ahead and make my day. What can I do? Other findings. 42% of Americans believe in ghosts. Oh, morons. 36% believe in creationism and UFOs. 29% believe in astrology. 26% believe in witches. Well, that would be 100% in the White House. 24% believe in reincarnation, that they were once another person. In the terms of Democrats, they can believe that every day. Other findings. Absolute certainty that there is a God is down versus 10 years ago. 54% versus 66 in 03. God, listen, that's a bad one. The absolute certainty that there is you is down. It's really down. You better get on this one. Outside of specific religious samples, the groups most likely to be absolutely certain there is a God include, black, 70%, Republican, 65%, older Americans, 62%, baby boomers, 60%, Southerners, 61%, Midwesterners, 58%, and those with a high school education are less, 60%. That's the reverse of what you'd think. In other words, people with less education have no certainty there is a God. They believe in crack cocaine and crank. That's what they believe in. That's horrible. I mean, drugs have replaced God in large swaths of America. There continues to be no consensus as to whether God is a man or a woman. Yeah, I believe that, sure. Nearly 4 in 10 Americans, 39%, think God is a male, while only 1% of U.S. adults believe God is female. However, notable minorities believe God is neither male nor female, or both male and female. Crap, garbage. Psychosis. This is such psychosis. 90% of Americans describe themselves as very religious, with an additional 4 in 10 describe themselves as somewhat. What does this mean? What does this garbage mean? If a person has faith, they're going to have it no matter what these psychopaths publish. And those without faith are never going to find faith. They're going to live in hell the rest of their lives. What do you want from me? I found another health story today that I wanted to share with you. Opioids and painkillers given to men with prostate complications damage the immune system's ability to fight cancer cells. You say, well, who cares? I don't have prostate cancer. But listen carefully. Painkillers and opioids, such as the type used that you may know of. I don't have to read it for fun, okay? Oxycontin and whatnot. These pain drugs actually suppress the autoimmune system, suppress the immune system's ability to fight off cancerous cells. So even if you're healthy, if you are taking painkillers, you're suppressing your immune system. You may not have known that. It turns out that people who've had prostate surgery, if they're given drugs such as opioids and painkillers to help control any pain they may experience, these drugs are doing more harm than good by inhibiting the immune system's ability to fight off cancerous cells. I never saw a study on opioids and immune suppression. Never. And this is a major league study because it shows you that the overuse of painkillers in our society, again, not for cancer per se, should be avoided at all costs. At all costs, it's unbelievable. If you're taking opioids or any other painkillers, you are opening yourself up to infection and serious infection because the body's immune response, when it is suppressed, permits invaders to take control of the system. Just as illegal aliens are taking control of our nation because our immune system has been destroyed by these politicians. You know, I did that once. It's a great, brilliant analogy. The reason the illegal aliens are gaining such a foothold in our society is because our defense cells, meaning our politicians, have either collapsed or gone over to the other side. They're like a retrovirus. Our politicians who were supposed to protect our sacred borders, language, and culture every day preach against our borders, against our language, against our culture, and take the side of the invaders as though they are the ones who belong here and we are the ones who are wrong. That is an autoimmune disease. They have gone over to the other side. They have become the equivalent of defense cells that have been invaded and been turned into aggressors. And we all know it, which is why their ratings are so poor.